Leviticus 10. I don't really even have a title. We're just going to look at it and deal with it. Chapter number 10 of the book of Leviticus. The Bible says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord when he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." And the reason Aaron held his peace was that Moses just described why it was that Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, had been destroyed by fire because they had offered up strange fire unto the Lord, and they were commanded to not do that, and they did. And when Moses told Aaron in verse 3 that God said, he will be sanctified in them that come nigh him, and those that also are before all the people, he said, I'll be glorified. And Aaron realized that God was right as he always is. God is just and holy as he always is. And so Aaron held his peace. Let's bow for just a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. And we'll look at these other verses a little bit later on, Lord willing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We want to thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just having our attention this morning. I want to thank you for a God consciousness, just being consciously aware of you and Lord, your blessings on us, your protection of us, your provisions, Lord, for us and to us. Lord, I want to thank you that we can trust you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will help us in the service, Lord, to be sensitive to you. And Lord, as we are trying to discern your direction in the service this morning, we certainly don't want to miss you. I certainly don't want to veer to the right or to the left. I want to be on target. And dear Lord, if you show me what you want me to do, by your grace and help, I'll do it to the best of my ability. Lord, forgive us, Lord, this morning of our sin and where we have failed you. Lord, I pray that your will would be done in this service, that you would speak to hearts. May you get the glory in what you do for us, Lord. We'll thank you and we'll give you praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for our sakes. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 1, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they offered strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord judged them." And a lot of people have gotten away from that truth, that God is a righteous judge, and that he will make right every wrong. And if you think about the book of Leviticus, as I was reading through it and thinking, my goodness, there's probably not even many people that ever even reads in the book of Leviticus, much less preaches from this book, because it is a book that's not easy to read, or maybe easy to read but hard to understand, because this book deals largely with the Levites and God's expectations of the priest as recorded different things throughout the scripture. That's why it's called Leviticus. It comes from that term. And God majors and magnifies through this book the subject of holiness. That's probably another reason a lot of people maybe veer away from Leviticus, is that they don't want to read about the holiness of God. In fact, in our text, we find God dealing with people that made light of his holiness, that made light of his commandments. It was evident there in verse 2 of our text, or verse 1, it ended, verse number 1, that they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So they knew better. They knew what God's word said, but they went and did it anyway. I wonder how many of us in this service this morning really believes that God still judges disobedience, that God still is displeased with disobedience, and that God, listen, if God were to act in the New Testament as he did in the Old Testament, many of us wouldn't be here today. Many of us in here today probably are guilty of some of the things in the Old Testament that had a penalty of death on it. I'm glad I'm not under the Old Covenant. I'm glad I'm not under the Old Testament. I'm glad I'm not operating under a lot of the things that's recorded in the Old Testament. Or I would be gone. Amen? And you would be gone. But I'm glad that we have a God of grace and mercy and that Jesus Christ satisfied the law for us. But as I was looking down through here, the thing that caught my attention, and and by the way, let me just say this. Anytime something catches your attention, there's a reason for that. You might as well get you a pad and a piece of paper or a pencil out and get ready to start meditating and studying on it, because God let that catch your eye, catch your attention for a reason. But as Moses went on down through here, Aaron go in and get the bodies of those two boys. He called for others there in verse number 4 and 5. And then he picks up in verse 6. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle. Now listen, all of this is in light of the bereavement that's taking place. All of this is being stated as instruction to those that were hurting, those that were experiencing sorrow. Aaron, you know his two sons was dead, and you know there was hurt there. You know there was bereavement there. There was sorrow there. And so he goes on to say, don't even leave the tabernacle in verse 7. Don't even leave the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Moses told them in verse number 5, so they went near and carried them out in their coats, out of the camp. And Moses had said, and then I read that verse, how he told them, don't even rend your clothes, which was a sign of bereavement and a sign of grief back in those days. He said, don't even rend your clothes, lest you die. Don't even bewail the burning. And I thought, Lord, that is hard. I mean, telling Aaron, don't even weep. Don't even cry. Don't even quit serving. Don't quit ministering. Don't even leave the door of the tabernacle. Let somebody else carry them out. Let somebody else bury them, or whatever the process was. You stay busy. You stay focused. I thought that was hard. That's what caught my attention to get me thinking about this passage and seeing that. And I thought, Lord, why was those instructions so strong? Because he wanted God's man to be an example to God's people. He wanted the example to be to God's people in Aaron instead of in Nadab and Abihu. But here's the four things, and I'll just give them to you quickly. As the Lord will help me, that I jotted down, that I saw in these verses. The first thing that I noticed in verse number 1 was that principle is greater than practice. Principle is greater than practice. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if you read verse number 1 again, you can see where Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, evidently they were already involved in priestly works, priestly ministries. They had their censer and they had incense, and evidently they knew what they should and shouldn't do in those offices. And instead of doing what was right, they thought they were doing what was religious, what probably the people wouldn't even find fault in, But they did it according to what the Bible did not say. They went according to, that's why I say that principle, doing what is right, is greater than just going through the motions of some religious order. Amen? They had allowed holy things to become commonplace. They had become comfortable. Listen, they had become comfortable with that holy office, with the holy position, with the holy practice of serving God. And I thought, Lord, I'm guilty of that, I'm afraid. A lot of times we get comfortable with our responsibilities as a Christian. We get we get comfortable in that we let some things loose. We let some things slide. Instead of finding out what God said, doing it God's way, staying with what is right, a lot of times we'll veer off. People will veer off. Churches will veer off. Preachers today will veer off. It's happening on a large scale across the religious world even today. Listen, I've watched several videos of church services, and I'm telling you, the majority of a lot of things that goes on in churches today, there's no way God's in a million miles of it. Some of the stuff that I have watched here in the last few days of church services, I thought, Lord, have mercy. I mean, nothing but just flesh. I mean flesh, buddy. Amen. And I'm not going to go into all the details of some of those things. But listen, I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right. I want to maintain that principle of integrity. I want to do what's right. Amen. But they had allowed their practice to become unimportant. They wanted to just serve. They wanted to do something. But they did not do it according to what God said. And so principle here, speaking to my heart, principle, doing what is right is greater than just doing. Amen. Being right and doing right are equally important. Amen. Coming to church, would you not agree? Is that not right? That's the right thing to do. Come to the house of the Lord. God's people are commanded in Hebrews 11:25 to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's the right thing to do. But you know what? You can do the right thing in that regard of coming to church, but then maybe not be right in doing so. You can come here and not even be right with God. You can come here and be wrong with God. You can come here though you're doing what is right and having the right Bible in your lap even, but yet you could be wrong at the same time. Principle is greater than practice. Amen. That's exactly right. They operated based on their opinion instead of what the omnipotent God of heaven had laid out. They had offered strange fire instead of real fire. Strange fire instead of real fire. And I want to read something here that Ryrie had made a note on this about the strange fire. That's the study Bible I've got. King James, though, amen. Nadab and Abihu apparently used coals of fire that were not taken from the brazen altar as prescribed in chapter 6. You know why it's important that you know what this book says? It's because that's what's going to be expected of you. They knew in chapter 6 what fire they were supposed to use, and evidently they did not do that. Ryrie went on to say, it seems too that they had offered incense other than at the morning or even sacrifice. They did it at the wrong time. Exodus chapter 30, some feel that they might even have been drunk because of the prohibition that was given in verse 9. Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. But we could all guess at what it was, but we can definitely say something was wrong about what they did. And we see here that principle was thrown aside and they just majored on practice. A second thing that I notice here in verse number 1, as they closed the verse, it said here they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Notice that. He commanded them not. The second thing the Lord spoke to my heart about, just in my devotion reading through this was, and meditating on it was, that what God said speaks louder than what God does not say. Now I want to say that again. What God did say or does say should speak louder than what God has not said. Amen. God had already commanded them of what was right in this passage. That's what that last statement in verse 1 said. They offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. He told them not to do that. He spoke clearly about that. The commands of God are God's clear mind about matters. Amen? And so we find here that they took matters in their own hand, disregarded what God had said, and started with their opinions and what they felt and their, you know, and did it whatever they wanted to do when God had said it. How many people are more concerned about what the Bible doesn't say than they are about what the Bible has said? There's people arguing about what the Bible doesn't say. There's people debating about what the Bible hasn't said nothing about. This is not all God wants me to know. It's not all that God knows. It's just all that he wants me to know. Amen? I'm not going to be worried about, and we shouldn't be worried about what is not in the Bible and be concerned about what is in the Bible. Amen? All of God's word is not for me, but all of God's word is to me. Or it's not to me, but it's for me. I can benefit from even this passage of Scripture in that it shows me here that I need to be paying attention to what God has said and do accordingly instead of maybe taking matters in my own hands and doing what God has not said and go contrary to that. Let's look at a third thing. I noticed a third thing just in my devotions there, verse number 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And we as God's people in our day, in this dispensation, we are invited to come nigh unto the Lord. We are invited to draw nigh unto the Lord. Well, what's a vital part of drawing nigh to the Lord, as revealed in verse 3. Sanctification, purity, holiness. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So the third thing that I notice in this passage is this, that purity is more important than position. They had a position, they had a title, they had responsibilities. Evidently, they've done this sort of thing before, but did it in the right way. But it don't take but one wrong way sometimes to get in a mess. But we find in verse number 3 that God's word magnifies the seriousness of sanctification in God's people. Now, that's being played down in our day. That's made light of in our day. A lot of churches are not the least bit interested in it. In fact, you'll be hard-pressed to listen to a lot of church services, and there are lots of them now online, live stream and the recorded version of it. And you can listen to hundreds of them and never hear anybody ever mention anything about the holiness of God, God's requirements, God's expectation of us being sanctified people, approaching him with reverence and godly fear. And those things are about a thing of the past anymore. But here we find that God's word says, and he's using the illustration of this tragedy here to magnify the fact that I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. My soul, may the Lord help us. God is serious about sanctification. God is serious about us coming nigh unto him. He wants us to approach him. I know he's talking here about priestly responsibilities in the Old Testament, which there are none of those now. Amen? Jesus fulfilled and took care of that and done away with all of that. But I want to say, amen, that listen, we still are encouraged in the New Testament And it's in the concept of prayer that we should draw nigh to the Lord, that we should spend some time with Him. And so we find the third thing here is that purity is more important than position. Listen, your purity, your holiness, your sanctification is a big deal to God. And listen, no matter how hard that I've preached on it in my years, no matter how hard, how specific that I've preached on biblical sanctification and separation and holiness and purity and godliness, I've never even got close to nailing it as tight as the Bible says it. I've not got close of setting the standard so high as God's Word would set it. God will never look at you and say you're too holy. God will never look at any of us and say that you're too sanctified. That'll never happen. Not in this life, it'll never happen. So I saw that third thing. So we notice that principle is greater than practice in verse number one. That what God said speaks louder or should than what God has not said. God did not tell them to do that. God did not give them permission to do that. So what He did say should have took priority. What He has said should have ranked higher. So principle is greater than practice. What God has said speaks louder than what God has not said. Thirdly, as we just dealt with, purity is more important than position. This fourth one, I want to bog in on just a little bit more, if I could, and that's found in verse number 6 and verse number 7, and I made reference to that a while ago as to what first caught my attention in this scripture. And the fourth thing that I notice is that the spiritual is stronger than the natural. Now, if Aaron would have cried and if Aaron would have, you know, we would have said that's normal. We would have said that's natural. But Moses came and gave instruction to the daddy of the two boys that had just been killed and give him instruction about the challenge that sorrow will make to spirituality. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there's been a lot of people in times of sorrow have thrown their spiritual life aside. Some of them have even thrown it away. But here, God was given instruction through Moses in this passage of Scripture for Aaron to stay put and stay busy and stay faithful and stay spiritual. Was he grieving? Sure. But he did not let it take over his spiritual life. Amen? That's exactly right. And so I thought that was amazing how the Lord dealt with that and how the Lord spoke about that. Do not, and all of us, I mean, even I referenced the sorrow earlier about that wreck. That would be so easy for that person, that young man, having lost all of that, all of those key people in his life in one fleeting moment, it'd be easy for him to get bitter at God. It'd be easy for him to get mad at God. It'd be easy for him to turn his back on the Lord. It'd be easy for him to throw his spirituality completely out the window and never go to church again. Wouldn't it? Don't you think that'd be easy? And I don't know what I'm not preaching. I'm just saying I don't know what I'd do. I know what I should do. I know what I'm supposed to do. But I don't know what I would do if I was facing that tragedy. What about Job? I've thought about Job the last several days. What about Job? I mean, listen, he buried all 10 of his children in one funeral service. Brother Mark, I was talking to a preacher not long ago, and he did this. I told him I was going to do it, but if I'd known I was going to preach this, I'd have had all that ready. But listen, he had a fellow that he said that had a time watch, and he said, I want you to time, tell me how long it takes. And he had somebody else lined up to take in Job chapter 1 and start reading when that first messenger came in with the bad report. From that right there till the last messenger came in with the last report. He said, I want to know how long it takes to read that. It took less than a minute. It took less than a minute for all of those messengers to come in and give a report of disaster to Job, including all 10 of his children being killed. I can't imagine that. I don't know. Listen, I can't imagine that. To not see it coming, it wasn't a process. It just, boom, and there you are faced with it, having to deal with it. But look what Job did. He never throwed away his spiritual life. That's the thing that got, was he grieving? Well, you know he grieved. But he never throwed away his spiritual life. Amen? So may the Lord help us with that this morning. That's right. Listen to this. Let me give you this. Service, because God told, through Moses, told Aaron, don't even leave the door of the tabernacle. Stay put. You've got the anointing oil on you. You've got ministry. You've got spiritual responsibilities. And he said, don't even leave the tabernacle. Stay with it. Keep serving. Stay busy. Why? Because God's people is watching you. God's people, people around, people in the, you know, all around the tabernacle was watching. He said, stay put. Keep a testimony. He's telling him there that service should be stronger than sympathy. And I thought about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And you're familiar with this. We read this yesterday at the graveside. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Most in this service could quote it. But I want to just reference it in light of what I'm dealing with. And I'll be done here shortly. Listen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And verse number 13. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those who have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He's saying there that God's people sorrow. It's normal to sorrow. It's natural for us to have sorrow. But he said our sorrow is different. Our sorrow is based on something spiritual. That is, we have a hope. Because we've read the Bible and we've read the promises of what God's Word says. We sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I read that scripture in Leviticus 10, and I thought about this passage I just read you in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. How that he's telling those people, and evidently they were concerned about where their loved ones were. You know, they had died with their faith in Christ. Well, Paul comes in and answers that. Paul lets them know to where they are. They're not out in limbo and floating around somewhere. And they're certainly not soul sleeping in a grave. There's some of that teaching going on in this close proximity of this church. And in Baptist churches, soul sleep. That word asleep don't have a thing to do with an unconscious state. Amen. The Bible doesn't teach soul sleep. That's right. And so Paul was dealing with the fact that they were sorrowing. But Paul said, don't let that sorrow be without hope. Stay focused on what the Scripture says. Stay focused on the truth. Let your spiritual life lead you rather than the natural life. Faith should be stronger than feelings. Be cautious of what is natural. Well, preacher, it's just natural. I've had people to tell me, preacher, you understand, don't you, the reason I don't come to church? You understand why I do this or that? And I've had to say, no, I don't understand. And I don't want to understand. Because there'll never be a reason, excuse, placed in your life that will take away your spiritual obligations and responsibilities to do right. Would quitting be easy? Would quitting be the easy option? Sure it would. at times, especially when there's great sorrow. But I want to tell you what God is showing us in our text is that even though there's hurt and there's grief and there's sorrow and there's disappointment and there's that unexplainable and there's that uninvited happening that take place, stay put, stay busy, stay focused, keep praying, stay in church, keep reading the Word of God, show forth to others that are watching your life that God is still worthy and He is still faithful. Amen. There's a lot of people, and I've already stated similar to that, that a lot of people have, they're not even close to being spiritual like they once were. And I'm not making light of people dealing with heartache, and I've been challenged in that area. When my mom and dad passed away back-to-back years, two of my great, my most influential heroes in my life, I want to tell you right now, brother, the devil tried his best to get me crossed up with God on that. He tried his best because I had no expectation. Of course, Daddy had, you know, we seen that coming, but Mama just happened with a brain aneurysm and there just snap your finger nearly and both of my heroes were gone. It completely altered my whole family setting. The family gatherings, it's not the same. We still have them, but it's not the same anymore. Mom and Dad's missing. My brother's got Alzheimer's and he don't know me or anything. And so, you know, in that regard, he's missing. And so my whole family's been rearranged. And boy, the devil's tried his best to get me bitter at God over that. Now, I've told you that. You've heard me tell it. And I'm talking about while I've been pastoring here, the devil's been trying to get me bitter at God, question God. God, why'd you do that? You know, and do it in a tone of blame. Lord, it's your fault that mom and dad's gone. And you know what? He never did explain nothing to me about that. Brother Mark, I've never found in the Bible where it said the just shall live by explanation. God don't owe me no explanation, nor does He owe you one. If we live by explanation, then we wouldn't need faith. We'd just let God tell us why He did it and we'd go on. But I'll never forget it. I mean, I was losing my joy. I was going down spiritually. I was smothering. I was drowning. I was sinking spiritually and still pastoring this church. And I seen what was happening. And by the way, you've heard me say it, that you need to be responsible about your own spirituality. You're the one in charge of it. When you're declining, you should be the first one to notice it. When you're not what you need to be and used to be, you should be the first one to step up and tell the Lord, it's my fault, and do something about it. Be responsible about it. And I did. I saw myself, Brother Carroll. I saw it happening in my heart. I saw the joy leading. I saw my heart getting harder and harder toward the Lord. And I knew that that was not going to be a good path. I knew that that path was going to have me completely out of God's will at some point. And I went to where I pray. I went and I said, Lord, I got to the place. I said, Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm losing my joy. A lot of my preaching is mechanical. Still preaching revivals, but drying up on the inside. I said, Lord, I'm losing my joy. I'm scared of the condition that I see my heart getting in. Wasn't out in sin. I was just getting crossed up with the God of heaven. I was getting on the wrong side of Him. I was letting sorrows and grief and disappointments in my life that I didn't invite, that I didn't welcome, that I did not even want and would have never chosen. I was letting that affect my spiritual life. And I went to pray one day. And I said, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. And here's where I had to get to. And several of you have heard me say it. This is where I had to get to. I had to get to the place, Brother Brian, to where it was faith plus nothing. And I said, Lord, You, and I meant it too. I said, Lord, You don't owe me no explanation. You don't, listen, not in this life, nor in the life to come, you don't ever owe me an explanation. You never have to tell me why and what for. And I don't know why I said that, or I don't know why that these things happened. But I choose right now in my heart to believe you and trust you and love you, and I'm going to serve you till I die. And I mean it. And I mean joy come back in my heart. Because I got my eyes off of my own understanding. I wanted to know a why. I felt like God just should tell me this is why. And he never would. And probably never will. But I was rescued probably from a spiritual disaster, Brother Travis, because I prayed in determination in my heart, Lord, I am not quitting. Forgive me for blaming you. Forgive me for being bitter. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking that you owed me an explanation. But when I got away from all of that and I said, Lord, I love you and I want to serve you and I'm going to preach and I'm going to be in church and I'm going to stay put like Moses told Aaron. Just keep doing what you know you should do. Let spirituality always rank higher than the natural or sorrows that come in your life. Amen. And many of you went through things. Many of you have gone through things. Amen. Tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Rearrange the landscape of your house or your home life, your family life. A lot of the enjoyments that you used to have are gone because people are gone. Let God help you. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to my heart about the importance. Listen, Had Aaron fell apart right there, I would have said, that's natural. His two sons had died, and evidently they were up in years. I'm not sure how old, but they were up in years. So he was real attached to them, and here they are now, they're dead, and God says, don't even go to the funeral. He's not telling us to do that. I'm just saying that's how strong he took a stand with Aaron. Aaron, stay busy. Don't even leave the door of the tabernacle. You got the anointing oil on you. Keep serving. He kept serving, but you know his heart was heavy. You know within his heart he was grieving. He probably pillowed his head at night and wept and cried because his two sons, their voices are now permanently silent. And not only silent, but they left out of here in disgrace. They left out of here under judgment. They didn't leave out of here under the pleasure of God. They left out of here under judgment. And you know that grieved him. That grieved Aaron. But he never let the natural challenge the spiritual. He stayed right with God, went on and served the Lord. And I hope God will help me to do that. And I know sorrows will come in my life. I know sorrows will come in my life. And they'll come in your life. That's going to be a part of the journey. There's going to be disappointments that we have to deal with. There's going to be hurts that we have to deal with. But when I saw that God took that stand about the natural taking over the spiritual, I thought, oh Lord, help me. And there's probably people watching us through live stream even today that's either went through something or going through something major, major crisis in their life. And if you're not careful, let this be just an inserted warning. I wasn't planning to preach on this. This was just some devotional thoughts the Lord just was speaking to me about and helping me with. And I'm telling you, don't throw your spiritual life away in times of sorrow, grief, disappointment, and hurt because somebody's watching your life. Somebody's watching your life. You're still alive. I'm still alive. We still have a purpose. There's still a God to be served. There's offices to be filled. There's a generation to reach. There's seed to sow. There's souls to win. There's prayers to pray. There's messages to preach. There's songs to sing. Don't quit in times of sorrow. May the Lord help me to have my spiritual life so strong that it ranks over everything and anything else. Amen. That's right. A lot of my preacher friends that I started out with are not even in the ministry now. When I go back to my alumni days, Tabernacle, and usually I'll preach about every time I go, a lot of my classmates, even that graduated Bible college, they're not even in the ministry. And you know what probably has happened? I don't know. You know probably what has happened? I mean, you don't just quit. You don't just quit one day. There's usually something behind it. Sorrow, sin, something. But they probably got to the place to where they were overwhelmed. They got to the place that something happened, some disappointment come in their life, some hurt come in their life, and they handled it wrong. They responded naturally instead of spiritually. I don't want to do that. And why the Lord wanted that this morning, instead, I was wanting to preach on our nation. I was wanting to preach on that this morning. And I hope I didn't miss God's will. Sometimes it's, you don't know. When you preach, you don't know if you did or didn't. You just have to do the best you can. Preach God's word. God said preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And I preach God's word, so that has to be the will of God. But if we can get a hold of just those principles there, those truths, that'd help us. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Ask you, Lord, to help me this morning. And Lord, you did help me. You've been helping me, Lord, since you showed me those verses and just allowed me to spend some time meditating out of those verses of Scripture in Leviticus chapter 10. And just seeing some principles, Lord, there that was magnified, some truths there of a greater versus a lesser. And Lord, I don't know in the service this morning who's facing what, who's dealing with what in their life. But they can tell, Lord, whether they're dealing with it scripturally, spiritually, or if they're dealing with it carnally, if they're dealing with it wrongfully, if it's taking their joy, they're dealing with it wrong. If it's taking their spiritual drive, they're dealing with it wrong. And Lord, I pray you'll help me. That no matter what comes in my life, and I know that's a mouthful. I know, Lord, that is. But Lord, I don't want to ever go through anything, and I never want to respond to nothing, Lord, that's going to be a response of quitting, a response of retaliation, a response of retreat, a response of revenge. Lord, I want to be able, Father, to confess my faults. I want to be able to confess my sins, Lord, to you. And I want to admit to you my weaknesses. I want to admit to you, Lord, my tendencies. And Lord, that I'm scared of my flesh. I'm scared of where it would take me. Lord, we don't even know where Aaron would have went and what would have been the outcome had he disobeyed the Lord and left the tabernacle and went on out and done what would have been natural. But he would have had to have laid aside the spiritual. Lord, if we ever need God's people and God's house and God's word, Lord, it's when we're grieving, when we're going through hard times. Please help me, I pray. Help our people. Help those that are watching. Help those that will be watching. Lord, that they will keep the spiritual in that top position of importance. The scriptural. Just keep doing what's right. According to what you have said, Lord, in your word. Lord, it's always going to be right to do right. And it's never going to be right to do wrong. It's never going to be wrong to do right. Please help me. Please help our church to stand in these days. Help people that are here this morning that may have a whole lot of questions and not many answers. And Lord, it could be that even in their heart, way down deep, way down deep, way beyond the surface. If they'd be honest, they might start detecting a little bitterness starting to creep in. Doubt creeping in. Hard-heartedness creeping in. The lack of desire to go to church and read the Bible and pray and walk with God and be used of the Lord is leaving. Help them, I pray, to find themselves in an altar, whether it be here at church or at home, and do business with you, Lord. Because we cannot trust our flesh. Our flesh will fail us. Our flesh will let us down. Lord, I don't know all the purposes for which you would have us to deliver this morning. I don't know. But Lord, your will be done is my prayer. Have your way in Jesus' name.